Welcome to Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson, the talk show that juices the people versus O.J. Simpson. I'm your host, Adam Papagan.
And I'm J.J. Stratford. For the next few weeks, we're discussing O.J. Made in America and fact-checking it against our memories as Los Angeles natives who grew up in the middle of the ultimate media circus.
J.J., I gotta say, in the description of this week's ESPN episode that we're gonna be discussing, they do say Trial of the Century.
They do.
So.
They also say media circus.
They do, yeah.
Okay. But nobody says the ultimate media circus.
It is the ultimate media circus. So it came up coming off of a long 3-day weekend. 4-day, I don't know, like what you got going on. But did you have a good 4th of July?
Yeah.
You ran up the coast?
I did, yeah. Yeah. I escaped to Central California. Where it was, you know, people live nice.
People live nicely.
They live really nice up there.
That's news to me.
It's the type of place where people like drink wine and watch the sunset. Very different from my life in Los Angeles.
Be it fun?
I had a blast.
Any OJ stuff in Central California?
No, I blocked it all out.
You had to get away from it.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Well, speaking of drinking wine, I gave an OJ tour this weekend. And it was three women on a girls' night, and they showed up to the tour very drunk.
Oh, wow.
And we're smoking wine marijuana.
Drunk?
Yeah, wine drunk. We're smoking from, like, one of those pens, which is, by
the
way, the worst.
Oh, they were vaping?
Oh, the worst way to smoke marijuana.
Yeah.
Like, get real.
It's like weed without the warm blanket.
Yeah, it's so lame.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
But they were, yeah, they showed up late because they were drunk and high.
Was it around, like, murder time?
Oh, yeah, it was 8:30. Okay. It was, like, the normal time.
Okay.
But they were like, yeah, we need to get high for this. To go look at a place where two people died.
Wow.
Do you think that's in poor taste?
I don't know. I mean, they're not exactly paying their respects.
No, it's very disrespectful. What would Fred Goldman say?
He would be appalled.
If these rich ladies were,
they were. Oh yeah, so
they were rich ladies.
Are they like Coachella age or are they?
They were in their 40s.
Oh wow!
And they were like.
Are they Brentwood locals?
They were like Hollywood housewives.
Oh.
And they were having fun, but it kind of reminded me.
Interesting, the best tour story you've had in a while.
I know every week there's a different one. It kind of reminded me though. It drew a parallel. So I ran into this a lot when I was in the David Liebehart band. At our show, with David Liebehart at our shows, people would get wasted. Uh-huh. Like, they would go nuts. And I think it was because when you're confronted with that much reality, sometimes that's the only option. It's like something that's so real and tough to digest.
In David Liebehart's defense, I will say, I think that the audience wanted to get to Salome. They're taking the highway to Salome.
Yeah. So it's either, I don't know, what do you think it is? Is it's either, this is hard to deal with?
I think it's probably an addiction thing.
Oh, so they would be drunk no matter what they were saying.
Yeah.
They'd go to the Dorothy Chandler and then...
okay, were they kind of like Nicole? Like if Nicole was around now, would she be like vaping and wine drunk and?
Yeah, you know they were Nicole-ish actually.
You said kind of housewifey.
For sure, 100%.
Like maybe housewives are into vaping now. They're not so like coked out. I think they're like high on Pilates, vaping, and like I don't know, probably medication.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Well, do you think it's, you know,
is
hard to deal with, we need to be under the influence to cope with it, or do you think it's like, this is weird, so we're using it as an excuse to get weird?
I think the core of it is that it's really hard to deal with.
Well, life is hard to deal with, which is why. So it might be led into
smoking
weed in my girlfriend's mom's car that I used to do the tour. Smoking a vape pen, which doesn't even get you high, by the way. Those things don't work.
They don't work.
They don't work at all. Whack-ass housewives.
Wow.
Nicole and Faye
Did they have questions?
No, they weren't. They were so drunk they weren't even paying attention. And they were just like, were I'm confused. So wait, Cato went to McDonald's after the murder? It was like one of like the...
attention.
They tipped, though. Very few patrons of the O.J. Tour
tipped. What, did you a joint or something? A vape pen?
They offered me the vape pen at first and then never again. Only once. But I, you know, I saw that thing, River Mew, I saw that thing.
Yeah, you can't, it's like blowing.
Yeah.
Dragon air.
Yeah, oh, it was whack. Poor Nicole, poor Ron. It made me extra feel bad for them.
Yeah.
That like, I mean, you know, like, well, the reality, you know, my part in all of this, but then also like, this is making it worse.
The reality thing is, when I went on your tour the first time, standing in the front, I felt like, it felt for the first time ever, it was really intense. So, yeah, I think they're running away. They just don't realize it. And they're probably high and drunk all the time.
That's true, yeah. You know,
a bit of both. It's like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a certain familiarity with the vape pen to bring it on an outing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, what's this? Well, I haven't done this since college. Yeah.
Is this, like, Saturday night?
This was Sunday night.
On 4th of July?
July 3rd.
Oh,
yeah.
3rd, okay. Mm-hmm. The night before. Oh my God, they're already raging. It's not even the 4th of July.
Yeah. Wow. In their defense, going on any kind of tour, murder tour or not, is like a tacky thing to do. So, like, you just be tacky if you're going to be tacky.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Yeah, it was weird though. It's just like shut up for 45 minutes. Just like, let me do my thing. I don't know. It was weird. You know.
How did they find out about the tour?
Bill Simmons' podcast.
We need to make a chart of just, you know, the data that you're getting from these different sources and what type of client it brings in.
Yeah, it's wild.
So I watched Capricorn 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have like kind of a lot to report about.
Okay, let's hear it, because I would be fine just hearing your report, not seeing it. So
I don't know. I debated all week if I should like text you or tell you about it or tell you to watch it, but I just saved it.
Lay it on me, sister.
It's a government conspiracy movie about a faked Mars landing. So it's like inspired by the conspiracy theories of the moon landing. But it's in 1977.
That's 10 years after the moon landing.
Yeah, it's kind of raw, still new.
Yeah.
Right after Watergate.
Yeah. These conspiracies were in the air, which was a conspiracy, was an actual honest-to-goodness conspiracy.
What do you believe? Do you think they faked the moon landing?
No, and this is how you know. This is how you know, and I know that you're like into like production show business and stuff.
Uh-huh.
When Neil Armstrong gets out of the space shuttle, he says, one giant leap for man, or one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Man and mankind are the same thing. He flubbed the line that they fed him.
Oh.
So if they were doing it on a soundstage,
they would have redone
cut,
it.
Yeah, they would have done it again. So the way that flub was in there is proof enough to me.
The other theory faked. I've heard where someone's like, the hardcore truth of why the moon landing happened is that Buzz Aldrin punched someone in the face once because they questioned it.
Oh.
That was their hardcore evidence.
Who did he punch in the face?
I don't know, somebody in a bar.
In a bar? Hey, you're one of them astronauts, huh? They faked that thing, man. They faked it.
The movie is really kind of weird and good.
Was it a theatrical release or was it made for TV?
Theatrical
okay.
release, yeah. And O.J. Simpson's not really in it that much.
Yeah. But later he was involved in another conspiracy.
Yeah.
About a fake
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. His first movie started it all
mm-hmm.
into conspiracy theories.
Maybe that's how the LAPD got the idea.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they were all Capricorn 1 fans. Well, in the movie, NASA is more run like a terrorist organization. They're actually like bad guys.
NASA is bad?
They're the ones that did the conspiracy. Okay, so it kind of goes awry because the spaceship goes up, the rocket goes up, and then they kind of have snuck the astronauts off the rocket before it went up. But then when it was re-entering space, the heat sensor was bad and it explodes. So they couldn't return to their families because it would blow the whole conspiracy.
So that's the astronauts really cool with that.
Wind up in a NASA type jail where they're like locked in a room and they kind of figure it out and they steal a plane.
It's like a little Con Air then.
Yeah.
Mixed in.
It's really good.
It was good?
I highly recommend it. Because it's interesting to see a conspiracy movie that's about the... It's really about the moon conspiracy theory. Disguised as Mars. And seeing all the behind the scenes, like, they show them shooting it. They're on, like, a Mars set, and they're moving lights around.
So just in case anybody out there doesn't have the time to see Capricorn 1, how does it end? What's the conclusion? Do the people find out it's a conspiracy?
Yes, they do. They're at a funeral for like the head astronaut, who's played by James Brolin.
Oh, great actor.
And they're like, his kids are there, and they're all wearing black, and they're crying, and then he ran all the way from the desert, and he runs up on his own funeral. Freeze frame.
Wait, it's all fake.
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
It's a freeze frame.
Oh, it ends on a freeze frame?
Yeah, I love it when they do that.
You love it?
That's a
cheap ass move.
Come on, it's like a stamp of television.
But
it never works in a movie.
But it wasn't a TV movie, you just said.
It never works in a movie, but I love it that it never works in a movie. More reason to do it.
True enough.
Yeah.
True enough. All right, well, go check out Capricorn 1.
OJ's first movie.
Is it on Netflix or anything?
No, I had to buy the VHS tape.
Oh,
no, I found it. I found it in a thrift store.
Talked about that last week. All right, so you're never going to see it then. anybody listening,
I think it might be on YouTube. I've considered uploading it on the sly.
You have to give it a fake little tag.
Oh, really?
Underscores.
This has nothing to do with OJ Simpson.
Sagittarius 2. Nobody will ever figure it out. Well, all right. Part 3 of the documentary. I watched the first hour a couple weeks ago and then the second hour. So half of my notes, I don't know what they're referring to.
That's fine.
Yeah. We can still unpack it, still talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's get it out. My first notes is Furman on Cato. And I can only imagine Mark Furman said mean things about Cato.
He just everybody plays into the thing that Cato's not smart. So yeah. He makes a little joke like that. They kind of give him a benefit of the doubt and just say he's a guy.
But Mark Furman is a lying racist. Like, who cares? Oh, that guy doesn't think you're smart? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Why isn't Cato in this? That's how I know it's not a balanced, fair documentary, is they're not talking to everybody important.
Is Chris Darden ever interviewed?
Chris Darden never does any interviews, though. He doesn't do it with just...
I think that that's a major hole, especially in this episode, because they talk about him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not really there to defend himself, right?
Yeah, Carl Douglas is mean to him.
Or round out... I love Carl Douglas.
Yeah, he really shines in this, doesn't he?
Oh, he's so good.
He's cool.
He's like...
He's sassy.
He's so sassy. But he's fun to hang out with. And he's kind of tabloidy in some of the things he says. Oh, Marcia!
Yeah.
These pictures, don't you? He has a very big way of talking.
Well, he inherited that sense of drama from Johnny Cochran.
True, yeah.
His protege.
Mm-hmm.
I like Carl Douglas.
Yeah.
I like the way in this episode, and I don't know if they do it in the other parts, but they go back and forth for like, they use the N-word a lot in this episode.
Yeah. They even highlight it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like a black guy saying it, so it's okay. Sometimes it's like controversial. Mm-hmm. And then Jeffrey Toobin just like says it, which is not.
I didn't realize Jeffrey Toobin was a student of Dershowitz. I don't know how I never knew that until this.
But he's not a lawyer. He's a journalist.
Yeah, but he specializes in law.
So he couldn't pass the bar?
He's basically a tabloid writer that probably went to like Harvard or something.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So I don't trust him.
Toobin?
Yeah, of course not. I don't trust anybody in the media.
Toobin is kind of responsible for really stirring the pot for the media circus. But he somehow has like branded himself to be the expert intellect, like, oh, I write for the New Yorker, you know, respectable. But I kind of think he's, yeah. No. A little irresponsible reporting on his part.
Of course. Look, you write for a publication that's main bag is like cartoons that aren't funny. I call it what it is. Like, yeah, no, I have no respect for him.
I love that description of the New Yorker.
The cartoons are not funny.
Do you think people really read the New Yorker, or they just get a subscription?
Oh, it's all for show. It's all fake. Fake, fake, fake. So that makes his job doubly meaningless. Uh-huh. Because nobody's even reading it. Just to think, I don't know. Carl Douglas, I mean, you know, he was being theatrical and whatever. But he at least has a law degree. Jeffrey Toobin has nothing.
He doesn't have a degree, you think?
In law, he's
just a law groupie.
The California bar is one of the toughest ones to pass.
You know for sure he didn't. I don't know what his educational background is.
If he was a lawyer, why would he be scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to make it as a journalist?
So you can be a star.
If you're a lawyer, you can just get law jobs like that. It's seriously. LegalZoom, just like.
That's Robert Shapiro.
You need a. Really?
He owns LegalZoom.
No!
Yeah! He went all .com crazy.
Wow. What a.
I really like him.
Shapiro?
Yeah.
The whole Dream Team is great.
Ever since John Travolta played him.
But yes, that just supports my point is that, you know, if you're a lawyer, you get a contract done, bam. Like, real estate, I don't know what lawyers do, but like they have their hands in a lot of stuff. So if you're just writing about a case from 20 years ago, still, no respect for him.
I appreciate Carl Douglas's, his way of speaking and his like drama that he's adding to what he's saying, because it's a way of admitting, you know, it's all a big show.
Yeah, you know, he's like the only person who is like.
It's very honest of him.
Yeah, and like he's like trying to put it behind him versus just like, I was part of this. Like Marsha Clark.
He's like making fun of the bravado of the Dream Team, which makes him.
Look, if you're a lawyer, your job is to win.
Yeah. The FX series maybe didn't portray him so vivaciously.
He wasn't even in the FX series.
He just was like, hey, by the way, Rosa Lopez, she's a no-go. He wasn't in it very much.
The FX actor looked nothing like him at all. They didn't even try to cast him.
Like he sat in the back row, so mm-hmm. The second row.
Yeah, Carl Douglas is tight. I like him a lot. Okay, so here's something we need to talk about. In part three, there's a pretty long section of Nicole's funeral, like a video from her funeral. I understand camcorders were a new technology, but who takes a video as a funeral? Oh, we might want to watch this later. Remember when Nicole died? We might want to put that on. Who shot the video?
You don't think people would bring cell phones to like their celebrity friend's funeral?
And they'd hold them up? No.
I think it's that same desire, maybe. Celebrity funeral.
Look, well, okay, so I was.
They knew they could sell it. Faye Resnick sold a book right after. Everyone was ready to cash in. That's why they filmed it.
But it's not like it's. Well, if they're going to cash in, they would have sold it 20 years ago. How is this footage just surfacing?
Oh.
Did the director, like, ask the Brown family? Or did they volunteer it?
I think he got a hold of, like, the Kardashian home movie.
Oh, they would film it for sure.
Yeah.
It seems like, and even in today's day and age, with the prevalence of cell phone cameras, it seems like bad taste to like...
Take it out at a funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like I was at a funeral this weekend, and, like, I wasn't going to, like, put it on Instagram. You know what I mean? It seems weird.
Yeah, you're like, RIP, right? Buddy.
Oh, this young man's death got 30 likes. Great. You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, I don't. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Chill.
But you can see the statue in the background there. Funeral video. That being said, I'm going to let you know this just in case anything happens to me.
Can I film your funeral?
I want it to be live streamed.
Okay, that makes sense for you, though.
Yeah, and not on, on like, Periscope. You know, maybe here on Dropbox. Figure it out. And no ads, either.
No ads. You want it streamed.
Streamed with no ads.
What about also, like, recording onto, like, beta cam tape?
What would be
done? Archival purposes.
Well, then I'm going to want it on HD, then, if it's for archival purposes. If it's, like, an artistic statement.
Beta's actually more archival. Just so you know.
Well, I don't, you know, I won't really have a say in it.
We're going to tape your funeral, for sure.
Yeah, no, I want it to be.
We'll live stream it, yeah.
I mean, it would be
whatever
streamed.
Whatever you want, it's your
death. Yeah, I want it to be streamed. Uh-huh. Or if you are going to record on beta, I want it released in some physical format. Funeral video, weird. Like, why did they do that?
Celebrity funeral. That's my guess.
But she wasn't a celebrity.
Some people love their camcorder. There's probably some, like, dad.
So it's 94. What kind of camcorder do you think it was?
Ooh, I bet you it was like
a big one?
Omnicord or something.
Did they
kind
have?
Kind of the kind that had the tape in the camera.
Well, did they have
in the way it looks.
High 8 back then? Or VHS-C?
They're kind of rich. It might have been VHS-C.
Could have been the little one, yeah, with a digital display screen. Although I don't think those didn't come out till the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Well, 94, mid.
I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look at the chart of video cameras to 94.
The tape was in good shape, though. There were no video artifacts or anything on it. So they didn't even watch it. Never even been seen. Weird. Zoe Tur was in this episode a lot. Mm-hmm. The transgender helicopter pilot. There's a credit, huh? Transgender helicopter pilot. Probably the only transgender helicopter pilot.
Definitely the first.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We should get her on the show.
I would really like to talk.
I told you I found her on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we'll hit her up.
Yeah. She also has an interesting part in all of it. Apparently, like, broadcasting him on the freeway.
Mm-hmm. And a Brentwood native.
And a Brentwood native.
Brentwood native to boot. Okay. Marsha's wavy hair. Did you see that? I think that's my favorite hairstyle on her of all.
Before the OJ trial.
Yeah, what was she prosecuting? Was it a famous thing back then?
I think it was a rape or a murder. Yeah, something big. Yeah.
Well, she looked great. Whatever she was prosecuting, she looked great. I don't know, I feel like when you have like a small frame like her, the like added curves, I don't know. I thought the wavy hair looked great.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she ever went to the curly hair.
I think that she has became work obsessed and just like forgot about herself. And a lot of this footage in this episode, you really see how like overworked and tired and stressed she looks. Don't get it confused with Sarah Paulson. Marsha looked rough.
Marsha looked rough.
It wasn't easy, yeah.
Sarah Paulson looked like she was having, like, one of the best work experiences of her career.
Yeah, she's like, I never get to wear ugly wigs.
Do you think the stress of prosecuting the case turned her hair curly?
No, I think she just made a lot of bad decisions, didn't take care of it, smokes a lot. Drinking, smoking, listening to the Doors.
They showed that picture.
Yeah, they always do.
I can't believe in an 8.5-hour documentary they didn't bring up just like a little jab at her. That Jim Morrison poster.
Well, apparently she says squirrel tactics. Yeah, she's describing OJ answering his first questionnaire, squirrel tactics. And my friend texted me, he said, that's what they call people in Scientology that are trying to escape.
Yeah, they do.
So she's still a Scientologist. If she's using the terminology.
Squirrel. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, still not likable after all these years. I'm not a fan
of
Marsha.
It makes sense, though, because like Scientologists think everybody likes him, but nobody really does. That's why I blame it. They can't read people.
Mm-mm.
They're trying to get rid of all that. So then they can't read people and understand them anymore.
Well, if you are a perceptive person and also a Scientologist, at a certain point, you got to realize, oh, this is nuts.
But Scientology is all about just like not letting anything affect you emotionally. So you just kind of become an android.
Reactive mind. Why did OJ's golf buddies agree to be in this movie?
Oh, they wanted to finally brag they were friends with him.
Yeah, because I guess at the time it would have been like, distancing
yeah,
themselves.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, I golf with the guy, but I won't ever be on camera with him.
Why would anyone agree to be in a documentary? That's what I want to know. You're only going to be made
people
to
people love to share their history and their story. Otherwise, just like FX dramas happen.
All right, here's a question. We talked a little bit about this last week. OJ, and this is an affair with Tawny Catane. Do you think he ever beat her? He definitely beat up Nicole.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Do you think he beat Marguerite?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. You
have to be kind of emotionally committed to someone to beat them up. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of an intimate thing.
Yeah.
Paula. Did he ever beat up Paula?
No, but I bet she was kinky.
Do you think had any of this not
Tawny
happened?
Too, probably.
You think Tawny Catane? All that hair,
All the extra girls you dated were like kind of proud sluts.
Big hair, too, on
big
all of them.
Big hair, uh-huh. Okay, Tawny Catane dated all these, like, heavy metal guys.
David Coverdale.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did she feel about all this?
I'd like to know.
Well,
she's in some good B-movies, Tawny Catane.
I only know from that video. And maybe a VH1 reality show, but I'm not even sure if she was on a VH1 reality
show.
She's
in this awesome movie where she's like a female Indiana Jones called The Perils of Gwendolyn.
Huh.
It's kind of like Conan and kind of like Indiana Jones, but it's also like kind of maybe a little bit softcore. Like the women don't wear tops. But they wear warrior costumes. She's tied up a lot. Gets out of it.
What's she doing these days?
I looked her up a little bit and I was like, I didn't know she was on these, like, I think she was like in Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, so she was on a reality show. All right. Well, vindicated on that.
No one can survive that party life. Heavy metal people, football players, you're not going to wind up pretty. Yeah.
Former football players.
Former.
Marsha Clark's rapport with black women.
That's what I said, like...
Bragging about it?
Bragging about it, but everyone's like, we don't like her at all. That's just, like, Scientology. She still thinks that they liked her.
I found this part to be... This part of the documentary to be too dramatic. Mm-hmm. They really kind of soapy. I don't know. Just, no one can approach, which I think is some of the work we're doing on this show, but no one can approach this case objectively. Why do you think people bring so much of their personal agenda into this?
I think that I don't know, but everyone feels close to it, I guess.
How come? Why?
So it's like the only thing that like sucked everybody in at a certain time, especially in Los Angeles. It's kind of hard to avoid.
But why do you think people, especially people in Los Angeles, so you're saying, why do you think people will assign like a personal memory to it or like a personal connection? People will go out of their way to figure out how they're connected to this.
Because,
I mean, your mom went to his neighbor's house. That's not a connection.
Okay.
It's coincidence at best.
Yeah. I think it's because it's just a fascinating thing that happened. It's a weird enigma. It's an unsolved mystery in your hometown.
And the
and it just, you know, all the facets of it are like super meaty celebrity.
The
drugs.
Lore. The lore of celebrity. Mm-hmm. Bringing folks in. One part that really bugged me was the I don't know what you call a documentary, like the stuff that's not like journalistic, like it's B-roll, right? The stuff that like they shoot extra.
Oh yeah, like all the drones.
Yeah, right. And they're in the courtroom, and that little door is like swinging back and forth. Did you notice that part?
No.
Oh, give me a break. Give me a break.
Well, it's for ESPN. This is like the first time ever making a documentary.
So 30 for 30 has been on for like 10 years.
Or I guess this is our long form documentary. It's a TV, it's a sports kind of director, I think. Trying to go serious. He's definitely like self-serious. But also, I don't know, it feels really heavy-handed, which I kind of like have in the past like wondered why they make a drama like the FX series about something that is so serious. But like a little bit of, I don't know, sometimes the campy version is like more truthful.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially in the FX series is a mini series. It's not a show.
Right, yeah.
It's more of a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
And made-for-TV movies historically really capture the zeitgeist of the time. They're a lot more. No, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
I
a
agree.
Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot more about social issues than like an actual movie could be. Because mm-hmm. it's that like, I don't know, it's because, you know, it's in your living room, so you just assign that of being more intimate. Or if they're like, the stakes are lower, or because it's TV, you know, and people are already familiar with the subject matter, we can kind of go, like, some social commentary in there. But I think that the FX show was, if it was not 100% factual, it was, will at least go down as, like, how people feel about it. It was emotionally factual.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's not factually factual.
Yeah. Because this documentary, if you think about it, these people are talking about, they're talking about the case, but they can't be objective because they have read everything. They watched the FX series. Everyone's like facts that they're giving can't really be trusted because they've probably read every tabloid, every book. They were in a part of it. It's all hindsight.
Yeah, so then what's the difference between their skewed version telling it, like, firsthand, and then, like, a skilled writing team, like the guys who did the FX show, like, pulling that, like, observing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think it's better for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bill Hodgman.
And they include Cato.
Yeah, exactly. This arrogant FX director.
And Bill Hodgman is in this a lot, but not really in the FX series.
They didn't even talk about his heart attack in this.
They don't.
That's what bugs me, is like, this is such a long documentary, and then they're missing, like, Jill is not in this.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're missing,
there's
like,
something
really
else they're missing that I can't remember. It's kind of major.
Well, so you're missing it too then.
Yeah. Well, they don't really talk about the television, the media part very enough, really. Maybe it's coming up.
Is it coming up? I haven't.
They don't take it as seriously as they do the race thing, and I think that's an oversight.
The media was like the whole thing about it. Mm-hmm. That's how we all came to it, came to enjoy it and find that connection. All right, and then my last note on here, OJ and Trump. Remember that picture?
Oh, yeah, they held on that one just like a little bit long. That's also like, he probably met him at a party.
Yeah, I wonder if, because there's also like tons of pictures of Donald Trump hanging out with Hillary Clinton. Like, it seems like he'll just hang out with anybody.
He just goes to parties. Rich people go to parties and make deals and hobnob. It's like they're networking.
Of all the people Trump has hobnobbed with, though, do you think he remembers OJ especially?
Probably.
And do you think, oh, I want Trump to come out with another controversial speech and, like, defend OJ?
Yeah, I do, too. I want him to, like, promise he's going to pardon OJ.
Oh, he will! Okay, vote Trump, everybody. Vote Trump. If his hot wife and daughter weren't convincing enough, promise to pardon OJ.
Oh, my gosh.
He would. He totally would.
Oh, my God. Amongst all kinds of bad stuff. It would be rad if he released him and then he just started killing people.
He's not going to. Come on.
He, like, revenge killed, like, the Dream Team.
They helped him.
I know, but they also took away his money and his, like, ability to hang out in Brentwood.
He did that himself.
Yeah, I guess so. It's true. It would be interesting to see a show, not by the Goldmans, but maybe the Brown family, which I think I read an article that they're trying to make one that's from Nicole's point of view.
Oh, that'd be great. I love Nicole.
Yeah. I vote for a TV movie and a documentary, kind of side by side, like on Lifetime or something.
Well, this has shown us that you really need to have both.
You do, and Nicole's voice is mute most of the time.
And, of course, that great photography she was probably doing. By regular Deanne Arbus behind the lens.
I would buy a Nicole Simpson print, I think.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Maybe the picture where she's on the Ferrari like this with the kids, like it was self-timer.
Oh, okay.
Self-portrait.
She had that that squeeze thing.
Yeah. Cable release.
I'm also imagining Nicole, like, behind a camera with that, like, that sheet that, like, you put over to see.
Uh-huh.
Like, the old camera with, like, the accordion. Yeah, uh-huh. Nicole in the dark room.
I'll be right out, you guys. I'm just developing pictures. And here, don't turn on the lights.
All right, kids, it's Chase Phillips, like the bulb bursts, like the flashbulb, yeah. Well, we'll never know. We'll never know. So you told me you had a surprise fun thing to talk about.
Oh, okay. So the show was mostly about the first half was about the Bronco chase.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, and?
It's kind of boring now, right? The Bronco chase? I'm kind of not that excited by it anymore.
No, the chase is what kicked it all off.
Maybe I don't like the way they presented it. But I did finally decide to compile. Oh, please. Okay. So I wanted to compare the people that are in all the TV movies. Okay, so that's the original couple.
The actual couple.
The actual couple that saw.
Go full screen on that.
Yeah. So that's the actual couple that saw OJ on the freeway, pulled over to a call box, and let them know. And they say that nobody else was behind them. And there was no cops around them at the time. So they feel like they think they found OJ, and so does Zoe Turner. So, this is when they reenacted it for the ABC News.
The actual couple reenacted
it. The actual couple.
At the actual call box, which it might not actually be the actual call box.
Yeah, so this is where
there's no way it is.
Yeah, so this is where we can kind of talk about like fact. Like, what is fact? No. Because that, so the first people to act out the what happened, them seeing them on the freeway is them.
They played themselves first.
Mm-hmm. Then in the 1995 movie.
He's got, what's that shirt? It looks like a rock shirt, maybe.
Yeah, they just kind of changed it up. They were like, oh, she's not blonde.
And she's highlights. Yeah, you said it's brown hair.
But she's, you know, she's wearing a long sleeve shirt and mm-hmm. a necklace.
Still, that's pretty close. And that is an actual California call box there pictured.
And I think they were in a white car.
And then, 20 years later, they're full on hippies, not wearing the same clothes at all.
The
VW bus and the call box is a totally different call box. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
It's a fake, like, prop call box. Because the real ones are more yellow and higher.
Yeah, that's
up.
Like an art department. They placed it there.
The VW bus is so over the top. No one even owns one of those.
It's such a picture car. The fact that it's like powder blue. I think this is this and Jill Shively's soup plantation are the kind of things that the facts that they're messing with in the FX show.
And these it's easy to fact check these things too.
Yeah,
do a little research, man.
They had so many opportunities. They could have seen the original couple, reenact it, watch the 95 version.
They should have just got the original couple to be in it. Like, if they get Larry King to to do it, why not get the real couple?
And the real Cato.
Yeah.
See, that's when it gets really interesting. That's kind of the only way to tell the truth in an epic story like this.
Have you seen, this is a little off topic, but have you seen the made-for-TV movie with Joan and Melissa Rivers about their lives, about the father committing suicide?
No.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. It's good. They're playing themselves dealing with the patriarch's suicide.
Wow.
And they said it was a form of therapy for them to like...
Oh, I've got to see that.
The dramatization, yeah.
Yeah, dramatization as a way of getting at something that a documentary can't.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people would agree with us. I think a lot of people are so gripped by the documentary.
They don't understand. Look, it takes an artist, a writer, like somebody else, it takes to filter through. Look, everybody out there, when you make your coffee in the morning, do you just open up the bag and drink it? No, you need a filter. And that's what brings out the actual coffee. You have the coffee beans, and you can grind it up as much as you want, and you can put water in it. But it takes the filter, it takes that mechanism to actually extract the thing that you want, that you enjoy. Thank you. No, seriously, I don't think you should discount something just because it's like fictional.
Yeah.
It gets at other things.
It gets at the emotional.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Mm-hmm. Totally. What are these couple? What are
but
they?
I prefer, in this case, I prefer the original couple.
Oh, they're great. Do you think they're still together? No way. This probably tore them apart.
Do you think they texted each other when they're watching the FX series? Like, wait, we were driving a Volkswagen bus.
They probably went on Facebook like, hey, see the thing? It's crazy, right? We didn't have that bus. I hope you're doing well.
I'm not a hippie. I was clean cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like a Marine.
Or like an Orange County guy that's like a Marine on the...
Oceanside guy.
Yeah. Marine pass, but now surfs or
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they find our juicing page on Facebook the way Jill did and we become friends with them.
That'd be
They'd
great.
Be great guests.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on a couple.
Couple on the 5 freeway.
And you know, even if you're not still together, it's never too late for love. I just... like to say that they can still get together, get back together, you know. Sometimes it takes being away from something to realize what you had.
Wait, I want to ask you about your jersey.
Oh yeah, so I forgot my suit and tie tonight, so I'm wearing this OJ Bills jersey number 32. It was expensive. It was like $25, which I know is not expensive, but like I've only shopped at their stores for the past 15 years. So for me, like $25 for a garment is a lot. Yeah. And I'll get to wear it a lot because it's in very poor taste. But I happen to have it in the car. Sometimes when I do the OJ tour, instead of the don't squeeze the juice shirt, I wear the jersey just to change it up. Uh-huh. But I like wearing it. It makes you feel like a sports fan. It's fun.
Who did you wear that one, that tour on?
The tour on Friday night. No, Saturday night. The Saturday
with
night
the
tour.
Drunk ladies?
No, the one before. It was a couple. No, it's like three people there into it. They're from out of town. But then they had a lot of like constructive criticism of the tour. They said I should play music and have souvenirs. Like, hey, I should sell gloves. It's like, but go back to Baltimore, wherever you're from. But hey, seriously though, thanks for going on the tour. Thanks for watching. Is that all we got for this week?
I think so.
All right, well, let's end on this joke from the joke book. Oh, you know, on the tour, I have passengers read the jokes. The drunk ladies could not read. What do you got, JJ?
I forgot there's one last thing.
One last thing. Okay, well, I'll find a good joke.
No, find the joke. But I think you need the Ford Aerostar van. I think that would be the proper car for you to have for the tour, actually. It seats the most passengers. It has OJ history.
Look, people think I should buy a Bronco. I'm not buying a car to do this. I don't make enough money on an OJ tour. It's a hustle. By definition, a hustle does not like a full-time thing.
I think you should just be your
thing.
Daily driver.
Astrovan? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. But joke 171 here. What are the five names being considered for Chanel's new line of OJ cologne for men?
Ooh.
You're not going to get all five, so I'm just going to tell you. Okay. Bad memory, perfect alibi, clean getaway, scot-free, and guilty as sin.
That's the best one in ages. It's so good.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of these, but those are some of the best jokes. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in, for listening. Check out our Facebook page if you are listening for some of the pictures we've talked about. Another great OJ articles we put up. If you're watching the show, subscribe. If you're subscribed to the show, watch it on YouTube, Juicing the People versus OJ Simpson. Or just, you know, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it. And until next time, this is Adam Papagan for JJ Stratford saying, don't squeeze the juice.